In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning. We have a couple of things that, great things that happened this past week. One is that our young men and women had the grace of receiving confirmation at the hand of Archbishop John Charles Wester in Fort Sumner. There were 12 of them there, and they received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I don't see any of them at this Mass. Some came last night, and we'll see the rest at the Mass today. We ask that you would keep in prayer our young men and women. We will be having our second and final First Communion for our parish, at least, of this year at the next Mass. So pray for those young men and women that they would make not just worthy Holy Communions today, but be prepared to receive many, many worthy communions after this. Sadly, as I told you last week, this is the worst participation at Mass that I've seen from any of our First Communions, not because the First Communion kids, not because the children don't want to come to Mass. They told me many times they do, but because their parents refuse to bring them. So there's a grave evil. Our Lord says, "Let the little children come unto me." But something great happened as well this week also, and I want to give a little honor to where it is due. Deacon Marvin is an MC, meaning a master of ceremonies for the Archbishop, and he ran that First Communion Mass better than I've ever seen any deacon ever do it. And so you have something really special here in Deacon Marvin, and he's worthy of our honor and praise here. So you've got an excellent deacon who's here. We can give thanks to God for that. Let's see what our Lord has for us today. He says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his most marvelous light." Words taken from 1 Peter 2:9, our second reading. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What's the theme of today's Mass? The theme of today's Mass is chosen. You're chosen. Each of you is chosen, escogido, today. Each of you are here for a particular reason, and that's what the Lord desires you to get out of this particular liturgy today. You're chosen. The first reading recognizes this very fact, because what happens is that the apostles recognize that they themselves can't get caught up in all the mundane activities of the day. They're called for one purpose, to do priestly ministry, to give the sacraments, to preach. And they can't be caught up in all the mundane activities that are going on. They need more time for prayer. So through prayer, they discern that God desires to raise up those who can be able to aid them in their ministry. In prayer, they call these men, seven men who they ordained. You remember what they called them? They called them deacons. Deacons, which is another way of saying servants. Servants for the mundane activities of the day. They ordained those seven good men for these practical church matters, to make sure that the priests, that the bishops could attend to the other things while they take care of the normal things. Deacon Marquez, Deacon Edward down there in Fort Sumner are supposed to do all these things for me as your priest, so that I can focus on the liturgy, on the sacraments, on the preaching, on the anointing, the visiting of the sick, all these things, so that priestly ministry can be the only focus that priests do, not the everyday activities. Our deacon here, Deacon Marvin, is a chosen man. He is chosen by God. He's chosen by the Lord himself to do a particular work, to aid and to serve you all in the practical matters of the ministry which God has called here. And so because of that, Deacon Marvin, chosen by God, is worthy of full honor and full respect here within our community. But as we read in 2 Peter, he's not the only one who's chosen. Who else is chosen? We see it there, not just deacons, but all Catholics are chosen people. Chosen by God. What did it say there? It says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, so that you might announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his most marvelous light." So every one of you is selected, chosen specifically by God for a good purpose. Maybe you don't feel like that. Maybe you feel like you've been run down in so many ways, like you've been run through the mud, like you're unloved or unvalued, uncared for, unappreciated, or just pushed over to the side, left out. Our world has a really good way. They're really skilled, I should say, at tearing you and I down. People in our community here are extremely good at tearing people down. I've experienced that too. It's evil. Many times the worst wounds that you and I can experience come not from the world or from our community, but sadly from our own families. And that hurts like nothing else. If you've been wounded by somebody, pay attention to God's words. What does he say here to you and I today? He says, "You are chosen." Chosen by the only person who matters, that God doesn't care what kind of sin or evil that you've experienced or has been done to you in the past. He's not concerned with those things. He doesn't care what anybody else says about you or whispers behind your back to stab you. God has incorporated you into his own family from the very moment of your baptism, and he never goes back on that adoption for you, no matter what happens throughout the whole of your life. All he cares about, he only cares about what has happened in your life since your baptism, insofar as he can restore, repolish, bring to the fore that image that was stamped in you in a way that can never be blotted out. Jesus said that he has called you out of that former darkness in which you found your way into, and he knows all about everything that happened to you. He was there. He saw it all. But that very same Jesus, he offers you now the opportunity to step out of that darkness and to march boldly into the marvelous life that he's prepared for you, chosen ones. What does he say here? Let's break it down, the scripture. He says, you are a chosen race. And it's a race that goes deeper than any great abundance or lack of melanin which you may have in your skin. It's a race that transcends the familial structures or cultural heritage that you have or do not have. The Catholic bloodline begins and ends through, with, and in the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that matters. He goes on a step further, and he says, you are a royal priesthood. What does that mean? Not a single one of you here outside the sanctuary is ordained. Only the Catholic priesthood rightly grants the sacraments, the graces which God has given to his church to lead souls to salvation, but each and every one of you is consecrated, chosen, set apart by God in a way that can never change, no matter what. The priesthood, as St. Peter speaks about there within that passage there, read it over again. You have it in your books for a reason. It says that the priesthood is ordered toward offering sacrifices. You're in a priesthood. You were to offer sacrifices the way each of you is called to offer the sacrifices of what? It says it in the scripture. It says spiritual sacrifices of your struggles, of your hardships, of the sufferings that you daily go through. These sacrifices, when you give them to God, have effect. They indeed have a power effect just as much as the ordained priesthood does, that God will use your sacrifices, your prayers, to do what? To reconcile sinners, to bring them back to Mass, to God's sacraments. When you offer them to God, that he will pour out all of his graces upon you. The ones who you pray for will receive those graces when you offer the sacrifices to God through the royal priesthood which God has sent you up in. He calls it a royal priesthood. What does that mean to say it's royal? It means this, that you have no reason to fear when you approach God. You're a royal priesthood. It means you can approach the very throne of God, Christ the King, without fear of being found unworthy, that God wants you to boldly ask in faith, to trust in him with everything, that you will be heard by God who is your Father. This is the dignity of your royal priesthood. He says something more, that you're a holy nation. What does it mean to be a holy nation? A holy nation, the United States of America, is not a holy nation. It's not a holy nation at all. How could a nation that yearly slaughters 1 million babies through abortion, a nation that assists the suicide of the elderly, the infirm, even the depressed, that celebrates child genital mutilation and sexual perversion, that turns the mentally ill out upon the streets, a nation that bans the most important book from public life and from our schools, that is, the Bible, that opposes the honoring of St. Rose here in our municipality or Our Lady of Guadalupe here within our county, no nation that does such things could ever be considered holy. What is our nation? Our nation is the Catholic Church. That is our nation. She is one, she is holy, she is Catholic, she is apostolic, as we proclaim within the Nicene Creed for the past 1,700 years. Our primary identity is to be Catholic. That is our national identity. You're not American, you're not New Mexican, your identity is Catholic. And if you cling to this Catholic identity, which has been given to you as a grace from God since the moment of your baptism, then you yourselves can be a part of the only nation which is founded by Jesus Christ himself. You're a member of a truly holy nation in the Catholic Church. You are a people who God calls his own. That means that you're chosen, special. We preached all about that last week on the week of the Good Shepherd. It means that God knows everything about you. He said he even calls you by name to follow you. You hear his voice, recognize it, and follow him, that he still loves you, knowing everything about you. Our same Lord Jesus Christ, he empowers you to announce the praises of what God has done within you, how a broken person that you are in so many ways, yet he who called you out of that darkness to experience his own marvelous light never gives up on you, even in the midst of your struggles, no matter how many times and how frequently you fall. He always wants you to come back to himself. He wants all of your neighbors to know the very same joy, which is the sole, perfect, supreme possession of those who are part of his Catholic Church. St. Bonaventure puts it this way. He says, open therefore your eyes, lend a spiritual ear, open your lips and dispose your heart, so that you will be able to see, to hear, to praise, to love, to venerate, to glorify, and honor your God. That's what we do here at Mass. This is what the holy sacrifice of the Mass urges you and I to do. Let me give you a case study, somebody who understood that even from their young age. Violet, how old are you? Are you 11? You're 10? So you're almost as old? You're 12? 9, only 9. You're pretty tall, though. I can tell you about a girl who's just a little bit older than you are, Violet. Somebody who you could aspire to live your life after, somebody who loved God. She was born in the 1300s. That'd be 700 years ago. Her name is Blessed Imelda Lambertini. In fact, she looks a little bit like you. Doesn't she? She looks a lot like you. Blessed Imelda Lambertini there, she was the daughter of Italian nobility. Her parents were rich and powerful, courageous, but most importantly of all, they were Catholic. They were Catholic in this way. Little Imelda was the joy of her parents' lives. She loved to learn about God, the saints, and delighted in praying to God. She even had them set aside a special room right next to where she slept, where she could pray every single day. She made it into beautiful altars that were there with santos, saints that were all over the place. And she delighted to spend time every day within there. She would even spend hours alone just conversing with Jesus, sharing the things that were on her little heart, even from that young age of 4, like you did. Imelda didn't care about her possessions. All she cared about was Jesus. She wanted to spend time with him. She was given many toys, many clothes, much money and possessions. But whenever she got these things, she would think of, there are other children who don't have these things. So she'd sneak out and distribute them to those who were outside who didn't have them, making sure that they were taken care of. She saw a poor man lying there who had nothing to eat. She'd go up to them and say, here's some money. Get something to eat. She wanted to make sure that those who didn't have enjoyed these pleasures. Imelda only cared for one thing, and that was to become Jesus' best friend. That's all that she cared about. She longed for that day when she could live totally just for Jesus and to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. Those are the only two things she ever desired within her life. Nobody was surprised, therefore, when she turned 9 years old, just like you are, when she turned 9 and she said, Mom and Dad, I want to become a nun. Let me enter now into the Dominican convent, which is over here. That probably broke Mom and Dad's heart. To think that at this young age, they were going to lose her so tenderly, but in a better age than we live in now, they allowed her to do so. They allowed her to enter into that convent, which was not far from their family home. How could a parent ever deny a child such a request to be with Jesus, to be belonging to Jesus? This would be just as evil as not taking a child to Sunday Mass because you're busy, because you have other things on your plate. Our Lord said, let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them, because for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. No good parent would ever do such thing. Well, the nuns were thrilled to have little Imelda, this little girl who was on fire for the love of God, to be there. In fact, she was just as prayerful as the best of the nuns who were there, an inspiration to them. Imelda wanted one thing more within her life above anything else. Do you know what that was? I've already foreshadowed it. That's right. She wanted to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. She wanted to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. She knew that Jesus had a special great love for her, and she had one back for him, that he wanted to come to her in Holy Communion. And so she went up to the Mother Superior, the woman who was in charge, and she said, Mother Superior, talk to the priest. Convince him that I should receive Holy Communion. I want to receive our Lord. He wants me to receive him. Mother Superior turned to that poor little girl, this young nun, and she said to her, Daughter, the church doesn't allow you to receive Holy Communion when you're 9. You have to wait till you're 12. That's the law of the church. You can't receive him now in this way, so be patient, my child. Make a spiritual communion while you're here at Mass. Just unite your heart and your soul to Jesus spiritually now and wait till you're 12. Then you can receive. Think of that. Poor Imelda. Poor Imelda, loving and longing our Lord Jesus hidden in the Blessed Sacrament. She was known to ask the sisters and come up to them after Mass and pull on their habits and say, Sisters, sisters, tell me, is it possible to receive Jesus into yourself in a way and into your heart and not die? Such great was her love for Jesus to be inside of her. At age 9, her only desire was to taste that bread that comes down from heaven in the Eucharist. 3 years was such a long time to wait for this girl who was so in love for Jesus, and she suffered a great deal in doing so, but Jesus is generous. He's generous in such a way, when somebody wants him, he wants them even more than they do. And so he gave this Imelda, this little child, a great gift to show how much that she loved her. It was on May 12th, 1333. It's almost 100 years ago from today. On May 12th, when she was 11 years old, Blessed Imelda, she prayed her little heart out at Mass, pouring her soul out to the Lord. She was sad because at Mass, all the other sisters went to receive, and she couldn't receive. So she went after Mass and just knelt there at the altar rail, looking at our Lord in the tabernacle, praying her heart out. When the sisters gathered around to do their task, they realized that little Imelda wasn't there, and so they went to search for her, because sometimes little girls get lost. So they went back and discovered where she was, and there she was within the chapel, kneeling at the altar rail, but that's not it. Something incredible was going on in that moment. What happened? It was incredible. The nuns realized that Imelda was still in the chapel, and they saw the sight. Imelda was there in ecstasy, in awe of the love of God. And there she was, above her head, was a bright, brilliant light, a circle, an orb that was there above her head that transfixed her eyes and attention. What was it? It was the Blessed Eucharist, the host, which was suspended in the air, beaming with bright light, shining in every direction. seeing this miracle that had happened. All the other sisters just dropped their jaws, but one ran immediately outside to go find the priest who had just left the sacristy. And pulling the priest there and showing him the sight, blessed Imelda, transfixed by the host, it was right there above her head, as you see right here within this image that we have here. Even a priest can understand what's going on there. He knew what our Lord wanted. And so he grabbed the golden paten that's used at Mass, took it in front of himself, and grabbed that host, still luminous, out of the air. And before Blessed Imelda said, "May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you safe for life everlasting," as he gave her first Holy Communion in that moment, Jesus wanted to be received by this beautiful little girl. Blessed Imelda loved our Lord Jesus with all of her heart, and she cherished that communion so much. Jesus held on to her. Imelda spent the next 5 hours still on her knees there in Holy Communion, giving thanks to God for letting her receive him. She stayed there all the day long on her knees, kneeling and loving Jesus. And when that dinner bell rang and they realized the little girl still was not here, the nuns went to retrieve her, say that's enough of a reflection on receiving Holy Communion. And when that nun came to see that little girl, Imelda, kneeling there at the altar rail, all of a sudden, she collapsed. And the nun went over there to revive her to see what was going on, but Imelda, in that instant, she died. Imelda held on to the Eucharistic Jesus with all of her heart. And our Eucharistic Jesus held on to Imelda with all of his heart, which he had given to her in the Eucharist. And to this day, Imelda and Jesus continue to embrace each other, holding on to one another forever in heaven. Imelda was chosen by God to go to heaven on the very day of her first communion. When you receive Holy Communion, brothers and sisters, you receive heaven. God has chosen each of you, all of you who are here, to receive this very same grace, the grace of making a powerful Holy Communion if you've made yourself worthy to receive him by a holy and worthy confession of all your sins. Does your heart burn to receive Jesus here at the altar rail in Holy Communion just like little Imelda did? If it doesn't, what do you do? Run to confession. Run to confession so you've been cleansed from sin and make a worthy Holy Communion to receive his forgiveness which knows no ends. Ask him to burn within your heart just like he did in Blessed Imelda, that 11-year-old girl who wanted nothing other than to belong to Jesus, to be his best friend, to receive heaven in the Eucharist within her soul. Remember that you are chosen by God. You are a chosen race, that you are a royal priesthood, that you are a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, that he has called you to announce his praises to the whole of the world of him who called you out of whatever former darkness in which you lived so you might enter into his wonderful light that he gives you and I when we receive him in Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.